And I will be preaching on authentic Christianity, a praying community, how to pray, and when you fast. I will be taking my text this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. You've been on the book of Matthew, chapter 6 for a while. Matthew, chapter 6, and I'll be reading the 16th to the 18th verses. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who sees, or only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I have the confidence to tell you this morning that what I'm going to share with you is anointed. And I'm not just bragging. I found out when I stepped in this morning, I had prepared certain verses of scripture to use. Okay, I'm staying in your pastor's house. So, no, we never spoke about this. He has no idea what I'm going to talk about. He has no idea what passage I'm going to share. Do you all remember the scripture you read this morning together? Anybody still remembers? 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses, it went on and on. Well, let me tell you something. One of the verses on my text this morning is 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. You didn't know that. When you want to know if the Spirit is moving or not, check how people are coordinating information, because that's called revelation. When revelation happens, you do not need to talk to or tweet or text or Facebook or WhatsApp or FaceTime one another. Because it is of God, it's universal, it's uniform, and it is always true. I was going to call the pastor, were you spying on my message? And then I realized he couldn't, because I received the word just this morning. And we hadn't seen since then until we came together to church. So I know everything I'm going to tell you today is already anointed, because Revelation brought the same scripture you read this morning into the word I'll be delivering by the special spirit and anointing of God. If you want to take note, that's your decision. If you want to listen, that's your decision. But this morning you're hearing truth. And I know that because it's of God. I know it's of God because two witnesses confirm that the word you're hearing this morning was not of men. It was of God. Well, the second thing I'll tell you is this. When you listen to what I just read, which is the passage for today, and I'll repeat it. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6 said the following. But when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. And you hear that, you think this verse is about fasting. It is not. In fact, there is a series that runs right through. There is a series that runs right through. So I'm going to take you to the very first verse of the same chapter, and you will notice there's been a theme all along. And in that theme, you will understand what this is all about. This is not about fasting, and I can tell you why. Verse 16 starts by saying, when you fast. Every time you use the word when, it's already assumed it's going on. Right? When you means you already know what you're doing, and this is not an attempt to teach you how to fast. Let me take it one step further. Go all the way to verse 1 of chapter 6. The same book of Matthew, but now I'm going to read from the first verse, and you will notice there is a theme. God is trying to bring some very clear message across to his people. Start from verse 1, it says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." All right, that's the first one. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. And verse 2 says, "So when you give to the needy, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets to be honored by others." To be honored by others. Verse 3 says, "When you give," notice it keeps saying when. So this is not telling you to give or not. It's assuming you already given. But when you do that, this is the spiritual principle for giving, for praying, for fasting. In fact, this is the entire spiritual principle for living your Christian life on earth. When you do these things, you have to understand the spirit with which you're doing what you're doing. So verse 3 says, "When you give to the needy," again, notice it doesn't say if, it says when. It's assuming you probably give already. "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Then in verse 4, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Verse 5, "When you pray," again, notice it says when. So you already pray. Many of us pray as a religion. We were born into prayer. We do this whole routine. We've memorized the phrases. You've been praying. Congratulations. So when you now pray, this is what you want to keep in mind. "When you pray, do not be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." To be seen by others. "But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Oh, guess what he's going to say again? When what? When you pray. Verse 7. "When you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You sang that this morning about what the good Father does. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let me go to another one. And this is the verse we're dealing with. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting." Do you get the general theme here? When you do what you do as a Christian, why do you do what you do? And from verse 1 all the way to 19, I want to highlight the principle which as a Christian, you want to be careful you don't fall victim to. In verse 1, we read, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." So let me see if you get this. If you are practicing this righteousness, you're doing it for one reason and one reason only. And that is what? I'll read it again. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." Tim told you I'm a professor. I ask questions. I talk to my students. I make sure they're not sleeping. And I get a feedback from them. So let me ask you this. This type of righteousness is practiced for one reason and one reason only, and that's to do what? To be seen by men, to be seen by others. Check out the next one. When you give to the needy, verse 2, do not announce it with trumpets to be honored by others. To be honored by others. Verse 3, when you give, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, and you guessed it. Why? To be seen by others. To be seen by others. Verse 7, when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans. Why? For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites, and you already guessed it. For they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. And that is my message today. The Christian life takes you outside the natural into the spirit realm. What you're doing in the natural is really not valuable in the spirit realm. So, if you are not Christian and you don't have a spiritual attitude to life, the only way you can get rewarded for what you're doing is to be seen by others, is to get the praise of men, or is to make sure others notice what you're doing. Because I also don't want you to get the feeling that God is saying you've got to do everything secretly. It's not about doing things secretly or being seen of men. It's about the principle with which you are living your Christian life. And what is that principle? You read it this morning. So let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. It's one sentence, it's just one line, and here's what it says. For we live by faith, not by sight. When your worship is sight-oriented, it is called religion. There are many religions in the world. The single transcending factor of Christianity, you know, we're living in a time now where we're all one, you should not discriminate, you know, be careful, don't say bad about other people, you know. The single transcending factor of Christianity is what you do is totally, absolutely, completely useless. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's totally useless. How many of you want to spend your whole life doing things that have no value or use? That's religion. It tells you how many times to pray, where and when. It tells you when to fast and how many days in the month. It tells you how to give and how much to give and who should be your witness when you give. It tells you how to appear before God because it's all, if you don't have a spirit, your whole being is natural. When I got my job as a professor, the department chair who hired me had a mystery, and he confronted me once. I cannot understand how you can be a professor of biology and still believe in God. And it puzzled him. This is something he struggled with. So I gave him another puzzle. I'd say, well, I don't understand how you can be a professor of biology and not believe in God. It's a mystery to me. There is no way you can look at the life sciences or the natural laws and not see God. It wasn't a conflict for me at all. Well, here's the difficulty we're facing as Christians. We live in the natural world. Your interaction with your world is absolutely based on senses. You see, you hear, you touch, you feel, you taste. We call it the five senses. You see, you touch, you hear. This is how we interact with the world around us. The passage we just read says, we live by faith, not by sight. It is not saying that is a bad way to live. This is how we all live. It's called the natural life. If you want to move into the realm where God operates, then I have news for you. And it is in John chapter 4. And I will read the 21st, the 23rd verse and the 24th verse. John chapter 4. I will start from verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has actually now come. John chapter 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit. Verse 24 says, God is spirit. Notice they didn't say God is a spirit. God is spirit. Verse 24, John 4, 24. God is spirit. And we are what? Flesh. God is spirit and we are flesh. If you worship spirit in flesh, you're not communicating with spirit, because spirits talk to spirits. Spirits talk to spirits. One of the challenges we face as Christians is we live in a natural body with a spiritual identity on the inside. Sometimes your natural body interferes with your spirit a lot. We call it sin. But we walk by what? By faith, not by sight. That's the spiritual life. It's not about how many times you praise, it's not about what you praise, it's not about how many times you fast. You may never fast, you may never pray, you may never give. But if you are spirit, you probably will. Because in the spirit, you get revelations about what to do. And the thing with revelation is, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how stupid, how smart, it doesn't matter what your native tongue is. Everybody gets revelation at the same time, and you just know it's true. It doesn't require education. It doesn't require intelligence. Revelation bypasses your senses. It transcends it, and it ministers directly to your spirit. Christianity has suffered for years because sometimes that is so. When we hear the word spirit, and the Bible translators did not help us, because for a long time, they call the Holy Spirit a ghost. Nobody likes a ghost. Now, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Ghost. And I now realize this is what the devil took to kind of take us away from what is spirit. We see it as a ghost. Spooky. Something, you know, spooky. Something you don't want to see in your dream. Just avoid. Holy Spirit is a ghost. It's a ghost. In the United States, there's a day we call Halloween. All the spirits come out. No, God is not a ghost. God is spirit. It didn't just say a spirit. God is spirit. Because God is spirit, you will not see God with your physical eyes. You will not hear with your physical ears. You cannot feel with your physical hands. Unfortunately, because we're human beings, we think what we see, what we feel, what we hear is reality. There is a spiritual realm that you cannot feel, which is exactly why people cannot believe in God. He does not exist, if you know what I'm saying. God does not exist because existence for us is a natural phenomenon. Meanwhile, God is looking at you and saying, well, you have no life. You have no life. And that battle has been going on in the spirit realm for years. I didn't put this in my text, but I thought I should share this with you. When the serpent approached Eve, you will all remember the proposal for the business. This was a business proposal. Here's the deal. Take the fruit, touch it, right? That's your feeling. You touch it. Then you do what? Oh, now let's take, I don't want to waste your time, so let me move it two verses further. It says, when the woman what? Saw. Her senses kicked in. When the woman saw that the fruit was good. Let me stop there for a minute. Several things that are good in the natural will actually be spiritually useless. They're spiritually non-existent at all. The woman saw that the fruit was good for food, and then what? It was pleasant to the eyes, and it was, so she did what? She took of it, and she tasted it. There's nothing wrong with anything she's done at all. How many of you will not see a good fruit and like to bite of it? In fact, you will pay for it. At least she got it for free. You'll pay for yours. You know what? There was nothing wrong with that until you go to the principle. God had told them not to interact with that tree. It wasn't about a tree. It is about stop using your senses to operate your life. Let's walk by faith. I will feed you. I will take care of you. I will instruct you. Just listen to what I have to tell you. The difference between God and the devil is spiritual and natural. The devil operates with our naturals, and that's why we get tempted so easily. Many times we fall because our senses are so real. And something strange happened. She gave it to the husband. Adam ate too. You may have heard this. He didn't even ask questions. No, he didn't even discuss with the devil. Oh, you think it's good? Can I have some of it? Many of you have been told it's an apple. It's not an apple. Adam did not eat an apple. Adam's apple does not exist. It's like men have an Adam's apple. That's where the apple got stuck. Now, it's not about apple. It's about using your senses to try to approach God. It's called religion. And when you take it to extreme, it's called idolatry. And when it really, really goes to the highest level, it's called witchcraft. Being religious, and it's one of the most pious things to do. It doesn't please God one bit, and the reason is simple. There is no spirit in it. And guess what happened after all this? Adam and Eve suddenly discovered they were what? Are these people stupid or what? They've been alive all their lives, and they're just realizing they have no clothes. And that will tell you it was not about being physically naked. Suddenly, the spirit left them, and they were all natural. And they suddenly realized the life they're living now is not the life they were living before they ate of the fruit of that tree. They were naked, it says. Well, suddenly they started getting fig trees to tie themselves off. It wasn't, they've been naked all along. They've been naked since the day God breathed the breath of life in them. What was the difference? They became natural and they forsook the spiritual. And suddenly they realized they didn't exist at all. Oh,
they suddenly realize, oh, we are now human beings. We are now human beings. And we've got to fill all our senses now. As Christians, God is calling us to a spiritual life. There are some challenges in that because God is spirit. But there's some beauty in the fact that when God made man, he molded him from dust. And then God breathed into the man the breath of life. Life is in the spirit. And that's why when a body is buried, the entire body is complete. They might take out one or two parts, but that's purely for preservation purposes. The entire body is there. There's nothing missing. In fact, they are now so good at preparing the bodies, they look like they're just resting. There's nobody there. That breath God put there is gone, and that is you. That's your identity. For humans, God did something that he didn't do to any other living thing. He gave us a body, he breathed into it, and the combination of that body and the spirit created a soul. So you have an identity. You can choose to move that identity towards the natural, or you can choose to move it towards the spiritual. When you move it towards the natural, you look like one of the most real people on earth. But in heaven, nobody knows who you are because there is no record of you there. You're not a spirit. The world is moving in that direction. You cannot. You cannot. Because it says to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. Let me read for you Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. To put this one more time into context. I might take it one step back so you can put this in context better. So it says in verse 16, Galatians 5, 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. Now let me repeat that. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. But there's a second part nobody notices. It is also the fact that the spirit is contrary and so desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another so that you are not able to know what to do. All right? They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. This is the battle going on in the heavenlies. It is whether human life should be natural or spiritual. If you are a Christian, you already got it. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian and leave. And leave. When the Bible talks about being born again, the first thing we think of is you're going to heaven. Well, God could have killed you the day you were born again and you just end that whole story. The whole purpose of being born again is to introduce spiritual life into the natural realm so we can make changes on earth. One of the reasons we pray and fast is when you pray, you're using your spiritual credit card to bring supplies from heaven into the earth. It's charged to your spiritual account. But the credit card you use is called faith. What faith does is suddenly take what is unreal, makes it so real, the natural becomes unreal. When people walk by faith, they are so crazy and they are so out of touch with reality because they are out of touch with reality. You know what I mean? When you live by faith, you are totally out of touch with reality because you are out of touch with reality. When you live by faith, you can literally go to heaven, find out what is there, decide which one to bring to earth, and you call it prayer. When you pray, This is why it's not about who is looking at you. Prayer is the spiritual principle for cashing the resources of heaven and basically putting it on delivery for earth. So how do we use that currency? Galatians chapter 1 verse 12, and I'll be done. Galatians chapter 1 verse 12. This was Paul speaking because he had a very strange experience after he got converted. He had a very unusual experience after he got converted, and he was sharing with God's people what happened to him. So let me read from verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Very similar to what we're reading in Matthew chapter 6. This is not about being seen of men. It wasn't after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. When you bring things in the spirit to the natural realm, revelation lets you know where they are. And revelation is not the last book of the Bible. Revelation is how spirit receive information. We get it by Google. A Christian gets it by revelation. We are so Google oriented. Every time you say, people Google real quick. Revelation is more powerful, is more effective, and has more information than Google. And you don't even know how to operate the machine. But when you have faith, Paul says, I received it by revelation. Revelation is how we as people of God should be operating, because when we do that, you become less and less obsessed with the natural. But let me make sure you understand this. I'm not saying you should stop being a real person. You should be. There is a difference between us and angels. Angels are spirit beings. They cannot be human. Some of them tried in Genesis and they got stuck on earth. And they never went back. The devil tried to become human. He just became Lucifer. You are a special being on earth. We are the only beings created by God that can operate between the natural and the spiritual. Angels cannot. In fact, for angels to come, they find human bodies to use. You already have a human body. You're making a big deal out of it. There is a bigger thing in you, and that's your spirit. Your body can submit itself to your spirit so you can live a more fulfilled life. And how do you do that? Hebrews chapter 11 is a verse we're all familiar with, and I have decided to round up with that. Hebrews chapter 11, and I will read just the first verse. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. Why do you need to hope for it? Because it's not in the natural. It's not in the natural. The Bible says, what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Hope is the instrument God has given Christians to wait for what you saw in the spirit by faith until it becomes real on earth. I'll repeat that. Hope is the instrument God has given to Christians that allows you to wait until what you saw by revelation in the spirit becomes real on earth, because you prayed about it and you believed it by faith. Here's the problem. Because we live on earth, we are subject to time. I'm checking every minute. Checking every minute. If you go to a church where they say they are led by the Spirit and they're not looking at their clock, they are operating by the standards of men. They are still doing this to be seen of men. I have to be subject to the Spirit, but I live in time. I live in time. So in a few minutes I'll be done. But why did I say that? Hope is God's agreement that although we are spirit, we live in the natural world and we are subject to time. Sometimes you see by revelation something in the spirit. And then you pray for it and you believe it by faith, but it is not. So what do? You give up. No. You upgrade your faith to hope. Hope allows you to take advantage of the natural tendencies of time until that which you saw in the spirit becomes real on earth. The prayer Jesus taught us also in Matthew chapter 6, thy kingdom come. I want to see the revelation of the kingdom, but it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As Christians, we have a powerful instrument. It is called faith. And when you take that faith, it says is the substance of, really, really directly from what it says here, and I'll complete this. Faith, it says, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. When you have assurance about what you don't see, people say you're crazy, if you know what I mean. Being crazy is to tell people you're seeing what does not exist. But living by faith is borderline crazy, if you know what I mean. Because you cannot explain it to others. Revelation cannot be explained. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But revelation doesn't have to be complicated. Just approach God by faith. There is, the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. Every one of you here, another benefit of Christianity is we do not need mediators. You just walk, you go to heaven by faith. You will see by revelation. Grab it. Prayer is what allows you to pull it to the earth. Faith is what allows you to transport it down. And hope is what allows you to wait for it. And it will be. And this is how the people of God will populate the earth with the resources of heaven. And that is how God is glorified. So to summarize, when it says, if you pray to be seen of men, it's not about the glory of God. When you fast so people can see you're fasting, it's not about the glory of God. When you give so everybody can see how much you gave, it's not about the glory of God. None of that requires faith. None of that requires faith. The things of faith are such that they literally populate earth with the things that were already in heaven. And God is glorified by that. I have a challenge for you today as Christians. The biggest battle in Christianity is not some of the things we think. It's about living by faith. It's not about denying your natural. It's about transcending the natural into the spiritual realm and realizing that there is a world out there that is spiritual and is more real than the natural. Some of you have had that experience. Sometimes you're praying and you just get lost. Everybody around you just looks at you and you're crazy. You are. You're in heaven. You're in heaven. You are interacting with angels and with God. But you open your eyes and you can come back to earth anytime you want. That is one benefit of being a Christian. You can just go up and down anytime and know, and you do not need Wi-Fi. No Wi-Fi required. The Wi-Fi of heaven is called faith. And how you send your tweet is called prayers. You can take advantage of all that, and trust me, everything about your life changes from this minute. I have one last thing to say. Everything I've said now doesn't make sense if you don't even understand what it means to be born again. Because that is the beginning of this journey. The first man who talked about being born again was called a lawyer, a leader of the Pharisees who read law. He couldn't, do I need to go into my mother's womb to be born again? Because it's about the natural. Now Jesus said the spirit moves where it will. If you want to be born again, I don't need to give you a spin. It's very simple. You want a spiritual life? Welcome. You done? Live your natural life. It's that simple. But I have had a lot of experience in the spirit to tell you that your better quality life is waiting for you when you get born again, because for the first time, you can receive resources from heaven and your life can only get better. Is there anybody who suddenly realizes, you know what? I don't have this spiritual life thing. I want to be born again. You can just raise your hand. I'm not going to tell you to close your eyes. I'm not going to tell anybody to close your eyes. We'll open our eyes. Everybody will see you if they want to. But you'll be in a whole different place because guess what? You are entering the realm of God. And if somebody wants to do that, just raise your hand. I'll hand you over to the pastor and he will finish the process for you. The rest of you, just like you to bow your head and let's all pray at this point. And the prayer, remember, prayer is how you enter heaven and see the resources of heaven. And when you pray, you are asking God to deliver them on earth. I want you to pray right now.